Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Welcome to the program. We got a great show coming up, but first let me tell you about the new movie from Angel Studios, Sound of Hope. It's inspired by the powerful true story of Bishop and First Lady Donna Martin and their tiny Bennett Chapel Church. This is the town of Possum Trot in the woods of East Texas. 22 families from a rural black church linked arms and courageously adopted 77 of the most difficult to place children in the local foster care system. By doing the impossible, the first 76 kids, I think, were adopted between 1998 and 2000, just 76 in a couple of years. There's another adopted in 2011. This is an East Texas community proving with real, determined love, the battle for America's most vulnerable can be actually won, as this act ignited a national movement for vulnerable children that continues today. The first step to ending the crisis is to raise awareness. So I really encourage you to order your tickets to see Sound of Hope, the story of Possum Trot, today. You can do it at angel.com/stew. Angel.com/stew. This is a great movie, but a great cause as well. This is the fight for kids, and it begins on July 4th when Sound of Hope arrives in theaters. Don't miss it. Angel.com/stew. Get your tickets today. Angel.com/stew.
Stew does America.
What is it, Tuesday? We're 2 days away from the first presidential debate. It's coming up this week for some reason in June. Make sure you're here and up to date with the latest from my State of the Race podcast. We'll have a preview coming up here in the next couple of days. Wherever you get your Stu Does America podcast, that's an audio-only show. So just, you know, if you're signed up for the show, you're already going to get it in your feed, but it's a free bonus pod you don't want to miss out on, especially as we get into election season. And also don't miss Blaze TV's special presentation debate coverage this Thursday. I'm going to be there. It's going to be my my pleasure to do the show. Jill Savage, who's going to be on today's show as well, she's going to be hosting it with me. It's going to be great. We have tons of people on. I mean, it's going to be great coverage. Don't miss it on Blaze TV. Plus, I'll be doing bonus coverage on the Stu Does America YouTube page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Get there, subscribe, click the bell, you'll see it all. Jill Savage is here to tell us what to expect when Biden and Trump get together in the big debate. Biden's student loan forgiveness faces opposition on two different fronts. I've got the latest on that. Should be about 80 different fronts, but we'll just give you the two. We're going to start, though, by doing Biden's border apocalypse. Now, we're talking about the debates that are coming up, and I want to give you a preview of something you're going to hear a lot of out of the mouth of Joe Biden. It's going to be very slow. You might not really be able to hear it because he doesn't really have a lot of exhaling ability. So it's going to sound like this. But this is something he's going to get on stage and brag about this week. You might not have heard much about this, but prepare yourself because it is coming. The CBP has released May 2024 monthly numbers on the border, and they are down considerably, actually. Now, of course, this raises the possibility that someone might think, why didn't he just do this like 3.5 years ago? Because he did this executive order where he's going to shut down the border and change everything. There's a massive asterisk on this. We're going to get to it in a second, but I want you to know how they're going to present it, at least from the left. Since the expiration of the CDC's Title 42 public health order on May 12, 2023 to May 31st, 2024, DHS has removed or returned 775,000 individuals, the vast majority of whom crossed the southwest border, including more than 115,000 individual family members. Border counters are down by 25% since Biden announced the asylum restrictions, according to Border Patrol. This is something that, again, could have been done a long time ago. Biden always had the authority to do this, but decided not to. Now, Bill Malugan has been covering the border very, very well for Fox News for a while here. And I want to give you, because this is not a guy who's coming from the mainstream media. This is someone who's been good covering the border, and this is how he describes it. Illegal crossings at the southern border continue to plummet. Per CBP sources, Border Patrol apprehended just under 1,900 illegal immigrants yesterday. It is the lowest single-day total I can ever recall seeing during Biden's presidency, and one of the lowest since at least early 2021. The busy San Diego sector is slowing down big time with only 370 apprehensions yesterday. Despite the lower numbers, per CBP sources, there were 783 known gotaways recorded yesterday, a spike from the current seven-day average of 480. Big picture. We now have almost 3 weeks of data showing a significant drop in illegal crossings following Biden's executive order earlier this month. Mexico continues enforcing on their side of the border, and Texas has their border on lockdown. Combo of these factors coming together to now produce the lowest border numbers of Biden's presidency after 3 years in a row of the highest illegal crossings ever recorded. Now, this has been a very standard thing that Biden has done and bragged about, which is set the record for the worst performance anyone has ever accomplished, and then back those numbers off and brag about that drop. This with gas prices and inflation and a million different other topics. A crime, another good example of that type of thing happening. Now, what do you make of this? Well, first of all, what Joe Biden did was implement some of the restrictions that Donald Trump already had on and that Joe Biden removed the first day he was in office. So do you get credit for that? Do you get credit for removing these things? Obviously, he shouldn't get credit for that. He let this be a catastrophe for 3.5 years, finally did something that people had been begging him to do the entire time, and we have seen a drop for a few weeks. That will not be the way he explains it on stage in a couple of days. He will surely brag about all these huge drops and how amazing he's done. And of course, this was all designed specifically for this purpose, right? Let as many people in as possible up until the very last minute when you can implement something you could have implemented a long time ago, solve the problem largely with the assistance of a foreign government who also is cheering you on in this upcoming election. And when you do that, what do you get? Well, you get something you can brag about and act like you've been on top of the border, Mr. Border Hawk, this entire time. This is completely absurd, and you should know that it's not true when it comes to the overall picture. Now, one of the things we talked about a long time ago, way back in at least 2023, but maybe even earlier, was a very specific thing that they were doing. The Biden administration wants a bunch of people to come across the border. They're totally fine with it. As we all know, he ran on this. He said, come, we want you to come to us during the debates with Donald Trump back in 2020. But what they don't want is a catastrophe on the border that's very visible to people. They don't want it to look bad. OK, they want the people to come in. They're totally fine with that. They have none of the concerns you have. However, what they do have is a aesthetic concern of a lot of people piled up across the border with these large, you know, camps and tents and all the things that just look bad. They don't want that. They don't want the media covering that. Remember, they were hit pretty hard with this in 2021, even by the mainstream media who said this is a disaster. Their goal since then has not been to solve the problem, but to solve the problem of the PR of the problem. And that has been really central to the way Joe Biden has managed the border. We talked about this, I don't know, 18 months ago. If you happen to be listening to the show that whole time, watching the show, we appreciate it. One of the little insights that we did, we went through all of these border changes and policy changes at the time and read through all of them. I don't know that everybody did that because in there was a very specific thing they were doing to alleviate pressure on the border. They decided to fly people into cities instead, to register people who wanted to come in and fly them over the border into, you know, Cleveland and let them out in Cleveland and then say to everybody, see, there's fewer people crossing the border. Now, of course, it didn't really solve that problem, but they continue to let people in that way and act as if those were legal crossings. They also scheduled, they built an app and let people schedule appointments at ports. We broke this all down again, I think it was last week. If you want to, maybe it was a week before, go back and watch that show because we went through all the ways they're getting around letting people in. Basically, what they've done is say, well, you have a bunch of illegal immigrants. We, instead of stopping them from coming in, we're just going to call 2/3 of them legal immigrants. This is just, you know, it's a shell game. And this is shown now in the numbers. We now have the numbers to back up what the policy said at the beginning. This is also from Bill Mulugan, who, again, I'll remind you, just told you border crossings are down. He's going to tell you what's going on. Updated CBP data shows the Biden administration has now admitted more than 1 million immigrants into the U.S. via its controversial CBP One app and CHNV mass parole flights programs. 636,600 migrants have used the app appointments as ports of entry. Again, if your idea is I want to stop illegal immigrants and not have them come in, this doesn't help you at all. The same people are still coming in, crossing the border. They're just going through an app or going on a flight. The flights are, the app had been talked about by a lot of people. The flights really weren't talked about all that often. Thankfully, they are now being talked about. 462,100 migrants flew directly into the U.S. and were paroled into the country as part of the CHNV mass parole program. The Biden administration deems these programs lawful pathways, so these numbers are not included in illegal crossings numbers as they are, quote, legal entries. A recent DHS Inspector General report found that no DHS component agency has been monitoring these populations for expiration of their two-year parole grants, meaning nobody in government has been tracking these migrants for removal or rescinding of parole if they stay longer than their initial two-year grant. So instead of people piling up at the border and everyone getting let in and going into tents and they have those little space blankets on, that's all uncomfortable. You fly them into Cleveland, and then you let them roam the country for 2 years, and when it expires, you just don't look at it again. That is not solving the illegal immigration problem at all. It is making it much, much worse. At least when they're all crossing the border, you can at least point to it and say, okay, we see the problem. Maybe we could put some pressure on. It's much harder to cover a news story, even if you want to give the mainstream media a little bit of a break. It's harder to cover a story when they're flying them to 50 different cities across the country. It's harder to find what they're doing. We've only seen a lot of this happen because of the buildup in cities like New York and Chicago, but it's getting much, much worse. And people crossing the border, how did Donald Trump put it initially? Not always the best. Some people who cross the border are people looking for a better life for their family. They're doing it in an incorrect way that should not be allowed. They're doing it by breaking the law. So that does not make me feel warm and fuzzy about these people. But look, the way that we treat the border, especially under a Joe Biden presidency, does advertise to people south of the border that you cross the border, it's not that big a deal. They don't really care. Like the president of the United States is telling you he doesn't really care. So how would you react to that? I don't know. If you're in Guatemala, maybe you'd be like, I guess they don't care. I'll go. I don't know. I'm not excusing that behavior, but certainly there are people who cross the border who aren't committing horrible crimes. But the goal here is to not import any crime. There's no reason to import crime to your country. There's never a reason to do that. And yet we continue to do it. Have you watched any news coverage over the past few weeks? Let me give you some examples. Jocelyn Nungare murder, illegal immigrant suspect accused of killing Houston girl, has bail set at $10 million. This is a brutal case. And this is a 12-year-old who was lured under a bridge where he and his co-defendant, the murderers and the co-defendant, remained with her for over 2 hours, took her pants off, tied her up, and killed her, then threw her body into the bayou. How about the Rachel Morin murder? Illegal immigrant from El Salvador charged in rape and killing of a Maryland mom of five. Now, authorities say that they were pretty sure she was not the first victim. It is my understanding that this suspect, this monster, fled to the United States illegally after committing a murder of a young woman in El Salvador a month earlier in January of 2023. Once in our country and likely emboldened by his anonymity, he brutally attacked a 9-year-old girl and her mother during a home invasion in March of 2023 in Los Angeles. And as everyone, I believe, is aware, that was our first DNA match linking Rachel's case to the one in Los Angeles. Should this have been allowed? Well, we were letting families in because they were just looking for the best for them for themselves. Well, the best for him was to get away from the murder charges he was going to have in El Salvador. So I guess in some ways this was good for him and his family. I don't know that necessarily this is the thing we're supposed to be promoting, though. Migrant arrested in broad daylight rape of a 13-year-old in a New York park. An illegal immigrant from Ecuador is in NYPD custody after a broad daylight sex attack in which police said a machete-wielding man approached two 13-year-olds, one boy, one girl, tied them together by the wrists and raped the girl at a popular park in Queens, according to sources. Should we be importing this? Does this make everybody feel better? Will this be at all asked about by CNN in the debate on Thursday night? Illegal immigrants charged with kidnapping Indiana teen. Five illegal immigrants were arrested in Missouri early Monday for allegedly kidnapping a teen girl in Indiana. Imagine what this would feel like as a father. The girl's father had witnessed the girl enter a vehicle later determined to be a black Dodge Durango with unknown registration. She was kidnapped. Luckily, they caught her before anything else happened. Of course, grand jury also indicting Lakin Riley murder suspect on 10 counts. We all remember the Riley story. And then you have all of this going on. All of these threats going on. All of these problems going on with illegal immigrants doing this across the country. And look, we all have family members we might not like all that much. We all have people in our family who do terrible things. That's sort of how I look at Americans committing crimes. They go to prison, they get treated by the Justice Department, but there's not much we can do before they commit the crimes, right? We can't, if we find someone who's, I'm suspicious, that person's kind of odd, we can't just throw them out of the country because they're citizens of the United States. That is not the case with illegals. We can do something about it. We don't have to let any of them in, whether they're good people or bad people. And the bad people who commit crimes, real problem, unnecessary problem in our country. I mean, they're praising at the beginning. I was, oh, gosh, there's only 400 crossing and 800 getaways. 1,000 people a day shouldn't be something we're bragging about. But that's just me. All of this is going on. And what is our administration focusing on? Surgeon General has called guns a public health threat in a new advisory. It's guns that are the problem. Guns are the public health threat. Despite all the murders that we see and rapes of 13-year-olds, it's guns that are the problem. Well, who's using the guns? A lot of them are illegal immigrants who are coming across the border with illegal guns. A lot of the illegal guns used in murders by our citizens come across the border and are illegal guns. But it's guns that are the problem. They're not going to tell you that illegal immigration is a public health crisis. Oh, no. They are wonderful people who are here just to celebrate diversity. But at the end of the day, what we have are murders and rapes and assaults that don't need to occur on our soil. Murderers coming from places like El Salvador, where they would actually treat them like murderers if they caught them, are escaping, crossing our border, where we don't seem to care all that much at all. Will this be covered in the debate on Monday night? On Thursday night? Will we have the type of coverage of the border crisis that the American people have told us over and over again they demand in poll after poll after poll? This is one of the biggest issues they're concerned about. We'll get into that and what is going to happen on this debate with Jill Savage, and she's going to join us next. Did you know the average person doesn't eat a half of the recommended servings of fruits and vegetables in a day? Now, I'm more like 1/1,000th of what I'm supposed to eat. That's why I definitely need Balance of Nature. Inflation has increased the cost of fruits and vegetables, and Balance of Nature can help you kind of bridge the gap on both of these things and make it easy for you to get the fruits and vegetables that you need, and they haven't raised their prices in 10 years. Their proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables come in easy-to-swallow capsules. So, you know, really nice and easy. Give your body the nourishment that it needs. Mommy told you to eat your fruits and vegetables, and that's what Balance of Nature can help you do easily without having to, you know, ingest a bunch of kale in a salad that you don't want to eat. Balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Get 35% off plus a free fiber and spice supplement with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STU. You'll save a ton of money. You'll get the fruits and veggies that you need in your diet. Make a splash into summer with Balance of Nature supplements. Go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a preferred customer. Use the promo code STU. You'll get 35% off your first order, plus the free fiber and spice supplement. You got to get your fiber in. Very important. Offer is only available while supplies last. It's balanceofnature.com. Promo code is STU. Balanceofnature.com. The promo code is STU.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I'm happy to welcome Jill Savage to the program. And if you didn't know this, she's the host of the brand new Blaze News Tonight, a show right here on Blaze TV. More details are coming on this very soon. We're excited to announce them, and that'll be coming up very soon. In fact, I don't know, maybe we'll get into a little bit of that on our debate coverage, which is also coming up this week. You and I are going to be hosting some panels and talking about the debate preview and post show.
I love a tease. So So well done. You're a broadcast veteran, so I will be coming to you for all of these tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the debate coverage, the debate that we didn't know if it was going to happen or not, Stu. Everybody's like, Joe Biden, is he going to make it to Thursday night? Don't worry, guys. They put him in Camp David. They sealed the lid on him for 7 days in a row, and he will be out there. So because of that, because we know now that Joe will be there, we get to do all the debate coverage and bring to you what could be one of the most highly anticipated debates of all time, because we have no idea what is going to happen.
So true. We really don't know what's going to happen here. It's an interesting, first of all, I think there's probably still a 40% chance Biden doesn't show up. So I'm not 100% sure we're going to have anything to talk about that night. But like, go back to the beginning of this, right? Joe Biden comes out and sort of blurts out with that really awkward, weird video that he cut like 65 times in 30 seconds and said, oh, we're going to do a debate. We want to do one in June. I'll do it anywhere, anytime. And it always to me felt like he was setting rules that he thought Trump wouldn't accept. Right. Like June? Nothing to do with the presidential debate commission. We're going to be, you know, no crowd, like all these weird rules. It felt like he was trying to get ahead of it, presenting rules that Trump wouldn't take. But then Trump kind of called his bluff. Is that how you saw it?
Absolutely. And Trump accepted immediately, which is the funniest part about it. They were going, wait, maybe we should have put some more stuff in there, right? Yeah. Like you're saying, like the no microphones talking over each other, the no crowd. They're trying to protect Joe Biden. And I'm interested to see like how this actually plays out. And they were saying you can't have anything on pieces of paper coming in. You can have a pen and paper, but no pre-written notes. Mm. I don't know about you, Stu, but I see Joe Biden when he goes out there for question and answer sessions with the media. And he has it written down on all of his notes. And it says, ask this reporter first. And these are the things that you're going to be looking for. They're all there on note cards for him already. So to go out there for what will be a 90-minute debate with two commercial breaks, and they said you can't talk to your teams in the middle of the commercial breaks or anything. So it's going to be Joe Biden out there on his own. And it's been interesting trying to see the way that his team is spinning the coverage of this is how we're prepping Joe for the debates. And we're going really hard on foreign policy and national security. And we're really excited and see all the vigor in him. And it's like, you guys, we have eyes.
Right.
Like we know how this is going to go. And, you know, it again, must see TV on Thursday night.
Perhaps my favorite tactic that they've been trying out for a while now is, look, we know what he looks like when you see him. But when you don't see him, he's incredible. Like, you don't understand this. Just this man turns into basically ChatGPT the second the cameras go off. Nobody believes this, but they keep trying it.
Yeah, they come out and they say he is sharp as a tack. That's an actual quote. And I'm like, guys, come on. Like, we know.
Are you worried about, because we're going to get into this on tomorrow's show, but are you worried about lowering expectations too much.
100%. Yeah. I think that is one of the biggest things that I will be watching for is if Joe Biden goes out there and is able to put together complete sentences, people are going to say, wow, he did it.
Yeah.
And at that point, Trump has framed this debate in such a way going into it that, okay, you know, he's going to want to attack Joe Biden. And will he be able to restrain himself? Or is he going to go all out and be seen as a bully in this? So I think that is one of the very top moments that I'm going to be looking for is how is he going to be able to come across as Donald Trump in a position of authority without being, quote unquote, mean, you know, everything that they're going to say about Trump anyway. Can you come across as a leader in a position like this? And it's going to be so interesting to see if Biden is able to just go through and complete the sentences.
Right.
And then he gets all the credit for doing just that.
All right. Let me and this is going to be difficult. I know this is a tough question coming in, but like put yourself in the position of you're a Joe Biden advisor. You're a Joe Biden aide.
There better be a lot of zeros behind
right,
it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You're a very well compensated yeah. Joe Biden aide. What would you want him to do? What would you want him to get out of this debate? What would be his approach? What's the strategy here?
You avoid everything about the economy, first of all.
Right.
You can't go there. I would say that you would just go through and try and pull on people's heartstrings. I think that's what Democrats are pretty good at doing, right? When it's about issues, Republicans win. When it's about people and feelings,
yeah.
the Democrats win. So he has to lean into the, I am the likable old man. Everybody, they like me. I'm Uncle Joe. Yeah. And he tries to be relatable to everybody saying he grew up in towns that he didn't grow up in and went to restaurants yes, that he didn't go to. But he tries to relate to the common man. And I think that is what he will attempt to do on Thursday night.
And as far as Trump goes, I mean, he's obviously going to be aggressive. He's going to try to point out all the stuff. He's going to remind people you liked life better 5 years ago than you do today. And that's going to be a clear part of his approach. Is there a risk from Trump, you know, if you remember back in the 2020 debate, the first one, he was very aggressive. Mm-hmm. He was very much trying to control it. And Biden actually kind of smartly played off of it. Should Trump let Joe Biden speak and you know, give him the slack to politically hang himself, or should he try to really go after him?
I think when you look at the 2020 debates, Joe Biden, and the 2024 debates that we're going to have, it's a very different mindset of just Joe going in and what he would be able to accomplish in that. So if I were Trump, I would let him go out there and try and defend himself and put him on the spot. Don't let him have those moments where you're attacking him and he can be seen as the person that is garnering support because Trump is that mean old man. And I'm interested, though, to see actually how many different times they come out with Donald Trump now having the 34 felony counts against him, how many times they will try and throw out there that Donald Trump is a convicted felon. It's like back on the Stoop Power Hour days, like how many times you guys were drinking. If people were playing at home, every time they say the convicted felon, like you could have a whole game there.
It seems you're trying to advocate for drinking games.
I'm not.
It seems like you are. I mean, I'm just saying.
If people wanted to on their own,
right, okay.
I would not necessarily advise it, but it could be entertaining.
Okay, I think I see what's going on here. This is going to be fun. The debate cover is going to be a lot of fun. Let me switch gears to the other main rivalry in America right now, which is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Amen.
I think, first of all, I have to show this. This is from the Babylon Bee, because Caitlin Clark just shrugs off everything, and they came up with this headline. It's just basketball. Shrugs decapitated Caitlin Clark, which is true. She's getting leveled in every game. People are obviously targeting her. I just love her approach and her answer to every one of these things. She does everything to disarm it. She acts like none of this stuff bothers her. I mean, her message discipline is so good, she should just go right into politics.
Donald Trump could take pointers from Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark stays on message better than any athlete I have ever seen. She understood who she was and the position that she had when she was still at the University of Iowa, my alma mater.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Come on, Stu. But she had all of the marketing dollars behind her, right? State Farm, Gatorade, Nike. They were coming to her, and she said, you know what? I like this. Mm-hmm. I want to keep this going.
Yes.
I like being a brand ambassador for the game. I like growing the game. I like signing autographs and making kids' days. That's a pretty good life. So what she does is she stays on message. People try and bring race into mm-hmm. this, sexuality into this. And Caitlin's like, I'm here to play basketball. You know what? I love playing basketball. And I'm telling you, if Donald Trump had the discipline yeah. that Caitlin Clark did, we would not have any questions going into 2024.
It's very, very true. I feel like, too, you know, she, because I think you're right on that. She has almost that Michael Jordan approach,
yes.
right? Like, she's focused on winning. She wants to win games. She wants to dominate. And she knows Republicans buy sneakers, too. And I think that's a good thing to remember. But I do think that having rivalries... Somebody brought this up, and I don't remember who it was, but I'm gonna butcher it a little bit. But like the idea that you can't like everyone in a mm-hmm. in a league.
You need the bad boys, the
league.
Detroit Pistons.
You need the Pistons.
They have
you
to
need
be out
LeBron
there.
James, who I can't stand. You need to have someone that you absolutely hate. And if the reaction from the league and everybody around the league is, oh, you can't dislike Angel Reese because that makes you a racist, or you can't dislike Caitlin Clark because it makes you whatever it makes you. You're not a real league. You have to have those rivalries. You have to have the love and the hate that's part of sports.
And Angel Reese had come out before and said, I embrace the villain character. And then a week or two later, she's like, no, I'm great. I'm positive. I'm this vibe again. Like, just whatever you want me to be to get all of the dollars that Caitlin's getting, yeah. I'll do that. I'll do that thing.
Yeah.
But Magic Johnson came out actually earlier today. I saw the story where he said Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are like the Magic Johnson and yeah. Larry Bird, right? You need that intense rivalry yeah. for your league to be legitimate. And this is what the growing pains feel like in the WNBA, to legitimize the league as something that is going to be topics of conversation right. on a show like this.
We've done more segments about the WNBA, us together, on this show than has ever been done.
On the entire Blaze Network.
On the entire Blaze Network. And I think that's a really good fit. Like, it's a good thing. And I just can't believe this gift they have been given, where you just have this superstar that comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden people care about your sport. They are doing everything they can to screw it up. It's fascinating.
Should we put her on the Olympic team?
Yes. How is she not on the Olympic team? How is that possible?
She's top 5 in assists, top 5 in three-pointers, top 20 in points per game. So those numbers alone
are enough.
Show you that she's good enough to make the roster.
And she's 22.
She's 22. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've seen the ratings or not, but maybe they want to check them out. Maybe yeah. they want to go back and look that for the college NCAA tournament, her championship game actually drew more viewers than the men's championship game.
And the NBA year. Finals.
And the NBA Finals. And the last 2 weeks on ESPN, it's the highest viewership for the WNBA ever on ESPN, with 2.5 million people watching.
And it's not just a ratings ploy. It's not.
It's not.
She deserves to be on the team quite clearly.
Even if it was just a ratings ploy,
yep.
you still could do it.
And you could.
But,
yeah, yeah.
but she's good enough to make that roster. And not only just all of the eyeballs that are going to be on it, but all of the merch that she would sell. I need a Caitlin Clark USA jersey. I need it, America.
Yeah.
I need this to happen. So inevitably, I think somebody's going to get injured on the team and she'll be named as an alternate. But I think it's hilarious that they came out and said she's not on the team because we're really scared that her millions of fans would be disappointed with her lack of playing time. They just need to listen to the first half of
right.
that sentence.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The millions of let's bring in the millions of fans to watch the game
and
keep them on the hook yeah. for when she might come in the game, come off the bench.
I 100% agree. And it means I'm not going to be watching the women's Olympic team unless she's on it. That's the only reason
I'm going to boycott
it
yeah, officially
there you go.
If she's not on it.
All right, Jill's made several demands here. You need to follow them, okay? Listen to her,
yes.
get the Olympics thing on. She also demands you watch Blaze News tonight, but she's not going to demand what time it's on yet, because she hasn't told you yet. But that's coming soon. You're going to know that in just a few days, I think. Blaze News Tonight is going to be with Jill Savage right here on Blaze TV, coming very soon. Jill, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Anytime.
All right, let me tell you about Constitution Wealth. This is the Patriot's choice in wealth management. And if you've ever, like, done the stuff that, I don't know, I feel like we've done a lot of over the past year or so. Oh, I'm not going to buy Bud Light anymore. I'm not going to watch Disney movies anymore. Okay, that's great. You know, it's a great step. I mean, standing up for your principles. But, like, the $11 you spent on Bud Light probably doesn't match your retirement. And your retirement funds are going to these same businesses a lot of times. You probably don't even know it. Like, you might be buying some fund, and all this money is going to these woke companies. You don't even know about it. Constitution Wealth can solve that for you. They have a system in place. They have people who understand how all this stuff works. They can walk you through getting good returns, good investments, but avoiding all the woke DEI nonsense. This is your most powerful weapon, your money and your voice. And you can now have an opportunity to help build the parallel economy by working with an investment firm comprised of professionals who are patriots just like you. Work with an advisor who shares your conservative patriotic values. Why would you want to work with anyone else? Go to constitutionwealth.com, constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Sign up for a free consultation today. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
I'm now about to rant about something I ranted about many, many times in the past. You might be thinking, oh no, here comes Bump Stocks part 95. No, student loans. But let me start it instead with porch pirates. You know, there was a video that came out the other day, and it showed, it was like a Ring camera or something, and you see the, like, you know, FedEx guy walk up the stairs with the package, tosses the package down on the ground, or maybe nicely places it down on the ground. And then, you know, he takes his clipboard out, and he's like writing, he's just writing stuff on his clipboard. And as he's writing stuff on his clipboard, still standing on the porch, a porch pirate walks up, picks up the package he just put down, and then walks away. This is the Biden administration when it comes to student loans. They don't care if what they're doing is completely and blatantly unconstitutional. They're going to do it anyway. Now, the courts keep stopping them. Unlike the FedEx guy who's like, what the hell is going on? Unlike that guy, the courts are actually stopping Biden, and then he just winds up doing it again. I mean, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. He's already been shot down by the Supreme Court multiple times for trying to do this. And in case you don't know what he's trying to do, he's trying to take your money, your tax dollars, and basically supplement college graduates' stupid student loans that they decided to take out on their own and give them free college, you know, because all these people who are now, you know, lawyers and doctors really need your giveaways. This is an insane policy. My memory is that I think 36% of people support this policy. And when I say 36% of people, I mean 36% of people who have college loans. Even the people who have loans realize how stupid this is, but he's trying to buy voters. And a lot of the people around him are aides, you know, and interns and, you know, political advisors that all are in massive debt and have jobs that they can't possibly earn to pay enough money to pay off these debts. So he, I don't know, I guess that's the reason he's doing it. I don't fully understand. However, what I will say is at least the courts are there. The courts have been there, Supreme Court has been there, and a lot of times what you've heard from the left is, I can't believe the Supreme Court. Supreme Court keeps saying that we can't do these things, and that's because conservatives are on the Supreme Court, elect me so I can put, you know, basically, you know, vagrants on the Supreme Court that don't know anything about the law. Okay, that's what they want to do. Problem here with this particular set of rulings is these are rulings that are coming from Obama-appointed judges. This is how bad this is. In Kansas, U.S. District Judge Daniel D. Crabtree blocked the Biden administration from launching the final component of the Saving a Valuable Education program, commonly known as SAVE. You know, the details of that. Crabtree, who was appointed by President Barack Obama, wrote that the Education Department failed to clearly show that Congress authorized the repayment plan created by the Biden administration in 2023. And when you say he failed to clearly show that Congress authorized it, it's because Congress did not authorize it. So that's kind of why they failed to clearly show they authorized it, because they didn't authorize it. Ruling arrives weeks after Crabtree said 8 of the 11 states challenging the repayment plan failed to adequately show they had standing or harmed by the policy. But still, it doesn't matter. As long as you have one, you have enough. In a separate ruling from Missouri, U.S. District Judge John A. Ross enjoined the Education Department from forgiving any more loans through the SAVE plan. The decision is a win for Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. He was on the show, was it yesterday, I think, on radio. And we didn't even talk about this, but this is a big deal. He led a group of 6 states in filing a lawsuit in April to overturn the program. Ross, another Obama appointee, also questioned whether Congress envisioned a loan repayment plan as far-reaching as what the Biden administration created in 2023, signaling that the SAVE plan could be in jeopardy of being overturned. And the reason why he questioned whether Congress envisioned such a loan repayment plan is that Congress did not envision such a loan repayment plan. Everybody knows this, including everyone involved in doing it inside the Biden administration. But in an example of specifically what our founders envisioned the use of impeachment for, he just decided to ignore the fact that he knew it was unconstitutional and did it anyway. They're in the middle of an impeachment inquiry. I hear a lot about the business interests. All that's important. All the things that they are looking at are important. They should be adding this type of stuff on, because this is what the founders envisioned. You're going to start just ignoring the Constitution and intentionally doing these things to buy off voters. You should be thrown out of office. They won't do it. They're not going to listen to me, of course, on this particular case. But this is specifically what impeachment was designed to remedy. You know, if you think you're kind of prepared, maybe take some notes from millennials and Generation Z, because they're actually preparing, apparently. They are more prepared than other generations, from their savings accounts to their emergency stockpiles. It's kind of weird. I wouldn't think that that's the way it's going, but maybe they're seeing something we're not seeing. You know, get started preparing with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans, like myself, gear up for emergencies. As you may know, I'm not much of a prepper. I'm not that guy. I don't know how to do really anything. I mean, around the house, I'm very, very much without skill in most areas. However, they make it really easy for you. Their popular 4-week emergency food kits can't stay out of customers' carts. Why? Well, I mean, they make it easy. Preparewithstew.com. Just go to preparewithstew.com. The food kit has over 2,000 calories every day for each member of your family. Ultra durable, 4-layer packaging, lasts up to 25 years in storage. Order as many kits as you need and save $50 on each one. Plus, free shipping is included. You don't have to do this again for another 25 years. Knock it out now. You have no time to waste. Stock up on the essential food kits with preparewithstew.com. Go there now. Prepare yourself. Prepare with Stew. I've been running long. I've got about a minute to get to a couple stories I want to tell you about, because they're going to affect the rest of the week. In particular, Supreme Court abruptly changing their schedule. They do this often, adding additional decision days. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are going to be your big decision days for pretty much everything that's left. They can technically go past this week. They don't want to. They'd like to get it out of the way. So we should be seeing all these, including like the Chevron deference, which is the biggest nerdy one. That's important, but also the presidential immunity and several others. We'll get into some of those tomorrow. Whatever comes out tomorrow, we'll get into. Also, big story for today that I wanted to get to in more depth, but we're not going to have much time, is Jamal Bowman. He's the first squad member that looks like he's going to lose in his primary against a more pro-Israel Democrat. Fascinating that Bowman has been, you know, basically yelling at his opponent, saying, you know, they're the money. He's been getting some money has come in from AIPAC, and basically, you know, the anti-Semitic charges are there when you're just starting. Those Jews have too much money is not necessarily the nicest thing to be saying. Also, he's accusing them of genocide. He's also said that the rape that Hamas engaged in on October 7th. All of these sexual assaults were Israeli propaganda. It has not worked out well for him. It looked like he was going to lose even before the money poured into the district. Now money has really poured in. So the belief is he's going to lose today. We'll give you the results of that election and the Supreme Court stuff on tomorrow's program. On Thursday, I will be preempting myself for debate coverage. This is going to be Thursday night, the big debate. Don't miss out on it. It's going to be the best debate coverage you're going to find. We had a great group who are going to be here. Go to blazetv.com/stew. Promo code is stew. You can save some money if you subscribe there, get all the coverage. Also, I'll be on youtube.com/stewdoesamerica for some pregame and postgame coverage, additional analysis on YouTube. Subscribe now. Click the bell. Don't miss it.